from the streets of Toronto to the backwoods of Bancroft. Here's your Moose Country Minute with Mark Bonikoski.
One of my last commentaries here before I suddenly fell off the face of the earth was that it was going to be a fun summer, despite having prostate cancer. But it wasn't fun at all. In fact, it was hell, so much so that my column also disappeared from the Sun newspaper chain. The side effects from weeks of daily radiation treatments had me down for the count, TKO'd, and not even the reckless spending and smugness of the Trudeau Liberals was able to rally me to respond with a condescending column or two. You have no idea how frustrating that is. For some reason, I fall among the 5% of men who do not take kindly to a radiation gun being aimed at their groin. And because the prostate is relatively small, there is also collateral damage to nearby organs, which caused me considerable discomfort and humiliation. Unexpectedly losing one's bowels in the middle of a radiation treatment, for example, cannot get much more humiliating or graphic, but that's what happened. I know, too much information, but we're here to learn, right? So you'll hear a man over 50 get a PSA test done regularly. It's just a blood test. Very simple. You don't have to fast. It takes all of a minute or two, and it could help save your life if the cancer in your good old prostate gland is caught early. That's my lesson for the day. Anyhow, it is good to be back and almost normal. Now it is wait-and-see time. A PSA test every month and hopes that the reading keeps dropping. If not, then it's a brand new ball game. For Outdoor Journal Radio, I'm Mark Bonikoski.
Welcome back to the program, and welcome back, Mark. Nice to hear that voice again.
Yes.
Been a little under the weather would be an understatement. But on the road to recovery, hopefully everything will work out well. We'll be listening for sure. On the line with us, our good friend. It's time to play it safe, by the way, in case you're wondering with all that little stuff in the back. There you go. You should add the scream to that.
It's just random. Yeah!
Yeah, because I would like playing it safe, and there's a guy who didn't play it safe. You know what I mean?
That's true.
Our in-house safety expert, his name is Brad Schlorf, a retired staff sergeant with the Ontario Provincial Police. Good morning, Brad.
Morning. How are you?
Lovely. Absolutely lovely. Could not be any better.
Well, so there's a new hairdo from Steve. That has been brought up for a long time.
A long time.
Glad that Brian Adkins sent him a message about the scream. I haven't talked to Brian in a while. I owe him a breakfast. Glad that Mark's back in time for the election. Boy, this is a happy day all around.
Yes, it is. We're all in good shape. The A-team is all back.
And Jack's coming on. The double A is double A team.
Jack's coming on. I can't believe it. That was a shocker. Last week, we obviously talked briefly about what had happened on Lake Joe. A tragic accident took two lives, boating accident I'm talking about. And apparently, I made comment about boating at night. And I don't know. Now, I'm reading this just like you did. Okay, I'm reading this off the script. And it said that last week, Angela suggested that boating after dark should not be allowed. And then it says, I hope that was tongue-in-cheek. So I'm assuming that's our good producer, Mr. Winters, making those comments. Obviously, he is a night boater because he says that would be ridiculous, a ridiculous idea not to be boating at night. So I want to talk about that first, if you got a minute for me, my friend. What part?
The tongue-in-cheek or the ridiculous or which bit or all of it?
About what I said. About not boating in the dark.
I kind of have to agree with the Shakespeare of scripts here that the idea of banning boating after dark would be kind of ridiculous.
Why?
Well, A, how would it ever be enforced?
Well, because there's nobody on the water. There's nobody out in the water at night. So if anybody is out there, they'd be by themselves, right? You would see it pretty quick.
But there's lots of people out there at night.
But there shouldn't be, maybe, is what I was saying.
No, what there needs to be is that people need to follow the rules and use their heads when they're boating at night. And then it's quite safe. So, and not just the rules, but, you know, you have to pay attention to the environment. You know, when it's really raining hard, it's snowing, it's windy, any of that stuff, avoid it. Right. But there are, you know, look at just East Eastern Georgian Bay, like the number of cottages that the only way to get there is by boat.
And you have
or
to
Lake of the
night.
Woods, like all over the province.
And you have to do it at night.
Well, sometimes you do have to do it at night.
Oh, all right. Anyways,
so the idea is proper lighting, knowing the rules, and don't go to the rules of collision regulations. There are 10 parts of the collision regulations that deal with lights on boats. Safe boating guide, easy, quick reference, couple of charts on what kind of lights you need to have. And it's easy, so you remember that the lights are so other people can see you and identify where you are. Go slow,
right,
and everybody be okay.
Talk to me about lights, because see, one of the reasons I say we should not be out there at night with lights or without lights is because you can't see a damn thing. And the more lights, the more lights you got, the worse it is.
That's right. The lights can make it worse. So when you, it takes your eyes about 20 minutes to be completely tolerant of the dark, where you can see it the optimum as well as you can the dark. But it never gets really, really dark here. When you know, if you let your eyes get to, you're not near any light sources, let your eyes get acclimatized to it, be able to, you can see fairly well. The problem is that as soon as you look at another light source, then you're back to the 20-minute countdown to fully recover your vision. So even things like training yourself not to look down at the dash lights in the boat or cover them up. People will rely now on electronics like a GPS or a chart binder, something like that, to be able to see. As soon as you look at that light source, then you're going to take away your night vision. So you got to keep that sort of stuff in mind.
How about boats that don't have a battery? How about boats that can't have lights?
Okay, so every big box store and marina has those little kits. It's two fairly cheap quality C clamps and like a stern light. So if 360-degree stern light clamps onto the transom of the boat somewhere, and another one that clamps on wherever you can get it on the bow, exhibit the lights close to completely legal and run on D or C cell batteries.
What's the regulation on that? So what if somebody is out there in a canoe, for example?
Well, a canoe only is required to have a flashlight. So the non-powered vessels have different set of rules than any power vessel. So the power vessel has to exhibit the side lights and the stern light. So that's where you go and get the battery. My father-in-law had a great solution. He had a lawnmower battery that he kept in the boat, and he used it to run his graph, but he also run a couple of cheater wires to navigation lights, worked fine. Yeah. In the daytime when the boat wasn't in use, had a little solar panel from Canadian Tire, clipped that onto the battery, and it kept the battery maintained enough to run that stuff.
You can also buy with the kayak fishing kayaks we have at the store. You can actually buy a unit that can flash or
And that's all well and good. We can come up. We can sit here for another 2 hours and consume the entire show talking about.
No, we can't because Jack's coming on.
Well, yeah, let's not forget about Jack. I mean,
I bet you Jack can sell you something that'll do the trick.
No doubt about that. Anyways, what I was going to say is, there aren't enough hours in a day.
I don't go fishing
to be out, out on the water. I obviously not. Yeah. We need to get the night shift going as well, right?
But look at the legions of people that fish walleye and don't go out until after dark.
I know. It's an issue. It's a definite issue. But when things like last week happen, it starts. You got to start asking questions.
The two other similar collisions are complicated investigations, but no doubt, no matter who it is, they're going to turn out that somebody was at fault, that somebody wasn't doing what they were supposed to. And it might have been as simple as just going a bit too fast, not keeping a proper lookout. Like, sometimes what are sort of small mistakes turn into being disasters.
Have we ruled out alcohol, by the way?
Don't know. To quote you, from behind the scenes, I'm about as far from behind the scenes as it's possible to get.
I doubt it. Anyways. All right, my friend. We will let you go because we got Mr. Summers in the wing.
I'm staying tuned just for him and the whole rest of the show, too, but mostly just for Jack.
Thank you, Brad. We'll talk to you next week, my friend.
See you later.
Playing it safe with Bradley Schlorff, retired staff sergeant with the OPP. So he agrees with our producer that I'm ridiculous, basically. Yeah, we'll get in line.